I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Welcome to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. Big Sean, Karen, happy holiday season's greetings. How you guys doing?
Tis the season, my brother. Tis the season.
I'm feeling all warm and snuggly and Christmassy. You know Jews love Christmas, right?
Well, I'm glad to hear that. But I brought you guys a gift. I'm a big-time sports fan.
Fan you are, my brother. You're just a fan.
Absolutely. I'm
big
a fan.
Big fan.
Nick Cannon. I was on the drum
line. Towel collector.
Absolutely.
Note taker.
ML
Matt
Carr.
The man. Double zero. Entering the gymnasium.
Are we
it's
done?
Matt with the towels.
Okay. Ha ha. Sean's got jokes. I'll let you pretend that you had games. So anyway, let me explain the purpose of today's episode. Our show is generally about financial topics, business topics, but as I said before, I'm a big sports fan. And with the new year in front of us and all the challenges we faced in 2020, if we want to reach our financial and business goals, we're going to need to go hard at life and compete the way athletes do. So today I wanted to take a look at the parallels between sports and entrepreneurship. There are a lot of lessons we can take from athletes that we can apply to our own individual business grind. So to help us with this conversation, I brought a guest who's a former professional football player and now an entrepreneur. He played 8 seasons in the NFL in the 1990s, played for the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. His name is Mark McMillan. And like me, Mark is a native of Los Angeles, California. LA is known to produce some great athletes. We went to the same high school together, Kennedy High School, in an area known as the Valley. It was a serious sports school. Our football team was loaded with great athletes. Many who went on to play major college football, some played professionally, but out of all of the great athletes on this high school team, Mark was one of the smallest players. I doubt anyone who watched this team would have guessed he would go on to star in the NFL. It's an amazing story. But so let's welcome him to the show, the man known in the NFL as Mighty Mouse. That's right. That was his nickname, Mighty Mouse. My man, Mark McMillan. Welcome, Mark.
Oh, man, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. Let me just set it up a little bit more. So when you were in high school, Kennedy High School, we had a lot of great players. You only played your senior year ball, right? Correct?
Yeah, I only played my senior year in high school, yep.
And just for the people listening, let's give a little size visual. You are 5'7", 5'6", 5'7"?
I'm 5'7" on a good day. Depends on who's talking
about. Okay. And for the people who don't watch football, or if you do watch football, you understand that there's a lot of giants on the football field. Wide receivers can be from, you know, up to 6'3", 6'4", 6'5". There could be some big dudes out there. So 5'7".
How did you know that, Matt, from your view of the field of the court? I'm just trying to figure out how you knew that. How did you,
right.
I can confidently say, yeah, they're about 6 feet or so, but I'm just trying to, from your sit down, holding the towel. How did you know that?
Okay, I did play a little sport. I'm just saying I wasn't any good. So I know what it is.
I'm just trying to figure out.
My point is.
Is that a stat you figured out?
At 5'7".
So rude.
At 5'7" on a good day. That's amazing that you made it all the way to the NFL. Tell us about your journey as an athlete. When did you start playing ball, and how did you get to the NFL, man? Give us your NFL story,
Mark. Before Matt gets into that, and I don't want to go too far on sports, but from an athlete to athlete, Mark, you were the guy on the field that was annoying to me because you were short, packed, and hit hard in the lower back, and just would I could just see you messing guys like me, 6'4", 220 solid up on the field. You know, I could understand you quick little Minnie Mouse guys that just would nail
Mighty
guys.
Mighty Mouse, you gotta get that right. It's
Mighty Mouse.
I know you probably ended a lot of careers with those solid compact hits in the lower back. I know that had to be you.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying that you would understand what we're talking about. This is just like
okay, got it. Let's the man tell it. So talk to us, Mark.
Yeah, man, my journey was different, man. Like I said, you know, coming from LA, going to Kennedy High School, getting on that yellow bus every morning at 5:30, 5:45, just to make it to school. You know, so it was a grind, man, just to even get to school, let alone think about playing sports. And my freshman and sophomore, junior year, man, I was just going to school and watching guys like Mike Pringle and, you know, some of John Diggs and Keeley Calhoun, Dion Lambert. You know, we had some really good guys that actually went on to play in the National Football League as well. And, you know, I was just in all of those guys. And, you know, my senior year, I was like, shoot, I'm 5'7" back in high school. I was probably like 130. I wasn't even 5'7" back in high school. It's probably shorter than that. But
the Jerry curl gave you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had the Jerry juice. It was always wet. But like I said, just grinding, man. Had a great opportunity to even get on the field with the guys. You know, Kenny Furness was on the other side of Dion Lambert, and Dion was probably one of the top guys coming out of college in the nation. You know, back then, now they got all the rankings. You know, if we had rankings then, Dion would have been a 5-star easy. And Kenny Furness, you know, if he wouldn't have got hurt, he'd have been a Division I player. So I don't know which week it was, but, you know, he went down and tore his knee up. And, you know, I got an opportunity to play and, you know, just scared out of my mind. Like, man, these guys are big. These guys are huge. And, you know, obviously, if you guys knew a guy named Akili Calhoun, this dude was like
– he was a monster.
Yeah, he was ridiculous. You know, we had George Davison.
Edwin Jones, Dion Lambert.
Stacey Ramsey, who I still say should have, you know, depending on the path he took, you know, he should have been an NFL player because he was one of the better players that we had on our team. You know, undersized guy, but made a lot of plays. And, you know, my senior year, man, just was lucky enough to be on a good team. You know, we finished up really good and – I was a track guy, you know, pretty much. And, you know, went out for the track team in one city.
Mark, I want to know about the confidence it takes to be your size and to succeed. And you know, because I like normally we talk about business and finance. And but before we get into the business side of things, because I think your sports mentality plays a big role in how you became a success in life in general. But talk about how did you, like, did you just have inner confidence? You just gave it a shot? You didn't care whether you failed or succeeded? Or what was your mentality like?
I was never afraid to fail. You know, I know a lot of people are, you know, that they're afraid to fail. And that was one thing, you know, growing up in the streets of L.A., man, you know, it was every night was different. You know, there was gunshots. There was gang violence. You know, there was drugs. You know, so getting on that bus, man, was my safe haven and going away to school. You know, I was never lacking the confidence. You know, I always had that. I talk trash, I can back it up. You know, I didn't back down from anybody, but the mentality that it took, you know, for my mom to be like, hey, you know, if you're really good, you know, why don't you go out there and prove yourself? And, you know, once I got out there and got in the groove, it was just like, you know, I'm just one of the guys. And, you know, I didn't see myself as 5'7", 130 pounds. I didn't care who I was going up against. You know, I was going to give them H-E-double-L. And, you know, I just took that mentality just to the next level. And, you know, there might be some kids out there that, you know, might say, hey, I'm too small, or, you know, I can't do it, or whatever business you have, you know, you may be afraid to pull that trigger or, you know, make that next step. You know, I just say, go for it, man. You know, if you have the confidence and, you know, belief in God, and obviously, you know, a man of faith, you know, having God on my side was, you know, without him, man, I'm nothing. And, you know, being able to take that same mentality, that dog mentality from South Central LA into the real world and apply that to playing sports. And, you know, sports has helped me out just not only on the field, but off the field as well, because you got to be disciplined. You know, you just can't go out there in the real world and just do what you want to do. You know, you got to play within the lines, play within the rules, but at the same time, you got to have that mentality that, you know, I'm going to make this happen.
I remember when I first moved to New York and I worked at Chase Manhattan Bank and I was working on Wall Street, we'd go to Health and Racket Club to play, to work out and then play pickup basketball, some of the brokers and stuff like that. And there was this guy named Al. You were 5'7". Al had to be about 5'5". He was always the smallest guy on the court in our half court game. He was a broker. And the guys, all of his friends were like 6 feet plus. But they all looked up to Al because his confidence, how he carried himself on the court, who he was. You couldn't tell him that he was the smallest guy on the court. You couldn't tell him he couldn't play him on the big one. And that translated to how he was as a broker. Like, he was a top broker. He was a go-getter salesman. He knew how to bring in the money. And it was all started, and I try to teach my kids the same way, and it's confidence. You know, a lot of people come to me about business, wanting to start a business. And just off their first sentence, I can taste the how unconfident they are with how they're delivering, how they don't believe in what they're telling me,
right?
You know, but then you can meet a guy that may not, or a girl that may not have it all together, the plan, but she's just, or he's just confident in what they're doing and ready to deliver. And then the, even the person that really propels is the one that knows, okay, I don't have it all laid out right now, but here's what I'm working on. How can you help me get to where I need to get to? And I think, like you said, sports, if you understand sports and you can translate it into business, they really are like on par with one another as far as like the disciplines and the tools that you need to succeed on the field in sports and in business for that matter.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Like I said, I've never backed down from anybody. And that was one of the things I, you know, when I'm speaking to kids, obviously my size plays a big part in that kid that may be sitting in the back. Cause I was that kid that sat in the back and, you know, it was like, you know, whatever. You know, just, you know, these guys are bigger, stronger, faster. But I know, you know, once kids find out my story, obviously, you know, with Google now, it helps out a lot because most of these kids wasn't even born when I was playing. But, you know, once they hear my story and see me in the physical form, it's like, man, if he can accomplish that and I got all these other people telling me I can't do this because whatever reason, you know, I'm going to go with what he says. And if it doesn't work out, at least I know I gave 100%. Mm-hmm. And just had confidence in myself rather than saying, man, I wish I would have just done it. You know, I never have any regrets, man. I don't regret anything that I've done, good or bad, because it made me who I am today.
Will you break this down for the girl? What did you play? What did you play? And like for whom?
I played football. You know, I played
like, but what part of football, right? Like there's like there's the fronty part, there's the backy part, there's the throwy part and the kicky part.
For the females, I break it down. I was a defensive back. So the defensive back is the guy that's on the field on the widest guy, like guarding the wide receiver. So my job is to stop the wide receiver. Say the quarterback is throwing the ball. He's usually throwing it to a wide receiver or a running back. If he's throwing it to the outside, that's normally a wide receiver. My job was to prevent that guy from catching the ball or trying to make a big play. So I was trying to, you know, inflict as much pain or for your female listeners, I wouldn't really try to end his career or end his life.
You were? Was, oh, no, you no, weren't. Oh, okay, okay.
No, I was
savagery.
Yeah, I never was. I was a savage, but I wasn't never trying to take a, you know, take a young man's life. But
right.
My job was to eliminate him, try to intimidate him. From catching the ball, and you know, my job is on the line. If he has a good day or I have a bad day, then my job is on the line, and then he's taking food off of my family's table.
Just to let everybody know, you know, Mark played in the NFL for 8 years, which is extraordinary, which is for most people being at a company for like 30 years, because the average time in the NFL is 3.3 years.
You're
it's like they call it the not for long league.
And
for him to navigate through that and understand the business. So just give a little bit of background on like the business of the NFL. Like what made you, it wasn't just all playing and how were you able to like navigate, survive and stay involved and stay part of this business, this organization for 8 years? Like what were the keys? What were some of the tricks to your trade in order to stay on that roster?
Just, you know, stay motivated, stay humble, continue to work on my craft. You know, like I said, I think it's down to 2.5 years now of the longevity in the National Football League. So, you know, everybody sees the Peyton Mannings and the Drew Brees. It's like, man, these guys, I can play forever. And, you know, my deal was like, I was playing every year like it was just my last year. Mm-hmm. You know, I never looked like, oh man, I got, you know, 4 or 5 years in the league. No, every time I stepped on the field, I knew like this could be my last opportunity. So I never took it for granted.
Even in your eighth year?
Even in my eighth year.
You weren't that old veteran guy that can hardly make it on the field. That's just trying to be the player coach where everybody keeps it on. He's a nice guy in the locker room. Let's keep him around. Let's give him a minimum vet salary. That was you guy hustling. Like just trying to be nice and showing him the moves.
If you see me in year eight, I was still getting tested probably like 2 or 3 times a month from the NFL because they just thought I was always on something because I was just excited. I was always running around. I was energetic.
Explosive and fast.
Yeah. Oh, you were that good. You were good, that good attitude guy.
So what was your mindset knowing the business is not for long? How did you prepare, like knowing that this could end and you could be doing something else? Like for those that like, I'm just trying to relate to those people that are like getting into those quick fix businesses. Like there's some people that do business at a short term and like, how do you know how you're going to transition out or prepare for the next step?
Mm-hmm. Well, I knew, first of all, I had to take care of my money. You know, I'd take care of my money, take care of home. You know, being young and making, you know, going from University of Alabama with no money in my pocket to all of a sudden getting drafted and I got $100,000 in my pocket, you know, it's that quick fix. You're like, whoa, right. You know, coming from LA, like, man, this is like something that we wasn't, you know, African-Americans, we're still not prepared for that. You know, you see it in the NBA, you see it in the NFL. And, you know, I didn't have anybody to advise me to be like, hey, you need to invest in this or, you need to take care of this. It was more like now my homies and friends and family, it's like, man, everybody's coming in and like, hey, I need this. And it's like,
you're taking care of your whole tribe, your whole.
Yeah, it was hard for me to say no, because these are the same people that, you know, drove me to practice, made sure I had something to eat on the table. You know,
so how did you manage that? What did you do?
I had to learn to say no. Mm-hmm. You know, that was one of the things I always tell kids. I say your favorite word, once you make it into a professional business or whatever, mm-hmm. you're going to have to say no. And, you know, you're going to piss off a lot of people, but in the end run, your no has to be stern, okay. You know, because once it's all over, you know, my phone don't ring as much as it used to, you know, and I learned that after year two. It's like, wait a minute, you know, I'm sitting there buying people plane tickets, you know, paying for their house payments, buying them cars. And
you were doing all of that. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like I said, that was just part of the game. I didn't know. I was like, well, shoot, you know, when I was hungry, they never said no or closed their door on me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I knew I had to look to the future and be like, this can be all over. And then what are they? They're not going to give me no job, you know, because they don't even have a job. So how are they really going to help me, you know, be successful? So once I started saying no, obviously it pissed off a lot of people. But, you know, I saw my bank account increasing. The more I said no, the more
there's a lot of power to know, and really successful business people know when and how to use it, you know, and how to be stern with it. Like I've learned over the years how to be like a stern no, mm-hmm. where there's like, okay, you can give me all the rebuttals you want. Mm-hmm. Here's my response to you. And it's nothing personal. It's for my betterment and for me to grow. And I truly believe in what you're saying. What happens, a lot of people don't understand, like, in order to help people and to grow in this business, you have to help yourself. You have to get your foundation. Right. If you kept spending, you're not building your foundation.
Right.
At what point during your 8-year career, Mark, were you starting to think about your after playing career, like mm-hmm. financial future and what you were going to do post football?
I started my rookie year, you know, because I got drafted in, I think, the 11th round, you know, back then, now I think it's only like 5 rounds, so I wouldn't even been drafted now. But, you know, I think my signing bonus was probably like $10,000. Now these guys are signing for $200,000, you know, $1 million. So my first couple of weeks in the National Football League, I had a roommate. You know, I had to move in with one of my boys. I didn't have a car. I was only making $5,000 a week. And that, you know, and Randall Cunningham.
But to everybody else, you were balling.
Yeah, right.
Everybody else, they're like, oh my gosh, he's on TV. He's, you know, he's making a ton of money. But I'm like, dude, I don't have a car. I don't have a place to stay. You know, I'm playing with Randall Cunningham, Reggie White. These guys are making $100,000 a week mm-hmm. to my $5,000. I got to buy chicken. I got to buy donuts for the guy, on the road. So by the time I got all my money after each week, man, I was probably clearing maybe $1,500.
What made you not go a little nuts? Like, right, you earned it. You got this awesome job. You worked really hard to do it. You beat out tons of other people. Like, why not be like indulgent? I know you didn't have the money at first, but how did you resist the temptation later on? You know, like I remember my first job out of college where I made.
Hold on, let's stop. You had a job, Karen?
I've had several jobs. I hated it, but, and I was not good, but I think I was making like $400 a week. And I had never had a job. And I thought that was so sick. I don't remember. I mean, obviously it like all went to rent, but whatever I had just flew through my fingers. I deserved it. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I always had to stay even keel, had to stay humble because I knew at any time I can fall down, tear up a knee, and everything is done.
Right.
You know, so I always try to make sure I had a small nest egg, something to fall back on. And of course, you know, you want to live that lifestyle. You see guys driving the nice cars, the nice houses, you know, all the women, the clubs, everything that comes with that. With that success. And, you know, I didn't grow up like that. So it wasn't a big deal for me to, you know, go get some chicken from KFC, you know what I'm saying? Just post up. I didn't have to go to Ruth Chris because I didn't have Ruth Chris money. You
did
know,
did you see other people wasting it?
Yeah. Like I said, I played with some high profile guys from Herschel Walker to Randall Cunningham. To Reggie White, these guys were making like, you know, $4 or $5 million a year back in the 90s, which was huge. And, you know, Randall Cunningham, he comes up in the Lambo. He's out at practice. He had custom cleats and on his shoestrings. He had 14 karat gold tips on his shoestrings. I'm like, bro, if you leave those shoestrings laying around, man, I'm gonna take them shoestrings. So, you know, there was a lot of that. And then obviously going to Kansas City, playing with Derek Thomas, who was one of the greatest to play the game, Andre Rison, and everybody knew, you know, how flashy he was. And, you know, it just came with the territory. I was like, I don't want to be like Bad Moon, but, you know, it's a cool little lifestyle looking from afar. You know, guys with Lisa Loeb's left eye, that was his girl. You know, just,
well, here's my question to you then. And this is common in the workplace, and I see it happens a lot. Like, people that are working with people like you may be at a lower level employee, not to say that you were. And there's the VP walks by or the CEO and people freeze. Like, it seems like you worked with a lot of great players, like the Randall Cunninghams, who was by far my favorite quarterback in the NFL. Derek Thomas, I love DC, Andre Rice, and all those great players. Herschel Walker, can't say enough about him. How did you, like, maneuver with those people? Were you still, like, kept your position? Or were you, like, hanging out with them? Like, how were you able to, like kind of position yourself with those great ones and be part of that, like, work force, if you understand my question?
Yeah, I think just like you said earlier, man, just my mentality, the way I went about my job, you know, I never looked at myself as, you know, people wanted to follow me or whatever, but I knew every time I stepped in that stadium, I can just feel the buzz, and you can see the kids' faces, like, man, because it was, I always felt like people were paying good money to come see us play a game that we grew up playing in the street. And, you know, I took that mentality every time, whether I'm in Kansas City or San Francisco.
And it felt like you belonged in the room. I think that's important. Whoever was in the room, you still felt like you belonged in that room.
Yeah, you know, from, you know, Randall's wedding when Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson, you know, I never felt like, oh, my God, that's those guys. You know, obviously, if I would have saw, you know, Bo Jackson was somebody that I idolized. Ronnie Lott, you know, was somebody I idolized. And even getting a chance to play against him, you know, I was like in awe, like, man, you know, Lawrence Taylor was another guy I grew up watching, like, man, I'm actually out here with freaking Lawrence Taylor, you know, so.
Well, real quick, just as a sports fan question, speaking of like players that you idolize, in terms of being a defensive back, did you ever like defend, like say a Jerry Rice or someone that, like, was there ever like the first time you faced off against an athlete that you idolized?
I would say just going through Alabama, then playing in Philadelphia with the defense that we had, the mentality, we didn't give a crap about anybody. So, you know, I had an opportunity as a rookie playing against Jerry Rice. I was more pissed off than anything. Like, oh, my God, that's Jerry. I wasn't like I wasn't in awe of him. You know, it was like, I have a job to do. He puts his pants on just like me. You know, from Steve Young to Joe Montana, you know, there was a lot of guys and an opportunity to play against. And when you play in that arena, you can't sit there and be like, oh my gosh, you know.
Confidence. Like, yeah, you gotta have confidence. It's
like, no, this we about to go to work. You know, you're about to get this work because I know in your mind, you're not saying like, oh my gosh, I got to go against Mark McMillan. In his mind, he's like, this dude's 5'7", he's 150. There's no way he's going to stop me. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, okay, F the world, let's roll him out and let's get it. So that was just my mentality. And even today, man, it's like, you know, starting up my business, you know, people are like, we don't know. They think because you play football that you have a ton of money and you don't need any help.
Right.
So people are kind of like, oh, you know, he played ball. He doesn't need, you know, any sponsorships or anything like that. Like, no, I've been told no, probably more after football, just because people judge me because I played football. And it's like, no.
But before we go into that, you just said the word sponsorship, but we actually have to take a quick break for our sponsors. And then when we come right back, we're going to get into your after football career and talk about your business. So everybody stay tuned for a little more Two Black Guys with Good Credit. We got Mark McMillan, aka Mighty Mouse, and he's about to break down his entrepreneur hustle. So we'll be right back.
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Welcome back to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. Today, we are joined by former NFL star Mark McMillan, who is now entering in and embarking on his business career or furthering his business career. Why don't you tell us a bit about what you're doing in the business world, Mark?
Right now, I actually have two things going. I've did football camps and coached high school All-American games for like the last 15 years. I've ran camps and combines from pretty much every state, you know, even in Hawaii, we held camps and combines there as well. And, you know, just recently launched my own business. It's called Camp 29. I've been doing that for, man, probably like 15 years, just training kids on the side, you know, since my son was young, just taking him out. And obviously the Camp 29 is related to the number 29 that I wore through my NFL career. And, you know, just, you know, when COVID hit, you know, the guy that I was working for felt like I shouldn't be compensated or still shouldn't be paid. So that was kind of like, wait a minute. The last 6 years, I've been making you a ton of money and, you know, everything's been going good. And all of a sudden, everything is dried up. But I was still on, you know, doing camps and combines through COVID, still getting on planes, still being around from, you know, 50 kids. We had a combine in Dallas. We had 300 kids.
Wow.
And, you know, so it was a great profit for him. So when he came back, he's like, hey, well, we're going to put you on commission. I was like, wait a minute. And that's when it hit, like, you know what? You can't continue to lean on somebody to provide your financial gain. And, you know, for me, it's like, okay, well, I've been doing this for a long time. I know the blueprint. I know the format. So I launched my own business called Camp 29. So I'll start doing my own training and recruiting, helping kids in high school and college get to the next level.
What does the name Camp 29 mean, and what does it do? It's a kids camp for football?
It's for everybody. It's for females.
Okay.
It's for males. I do youth. I do high school. I train NFL guys. Guys is getting ready for the NFL draft.
And cool. 29 was his number. 29 was Mark's number as a player. Oh,
got it. Okay, yeah, these things have to be baby stepped for me.
Oh, my bad.
No, not at all. I get it now.
Yeah, so I had the opportunity to even if you're in the track and no track and field, Devin Allen, mm-hmm. Who represented our Olympic team the last two Olympics, he was one of my first guys that I had the opportunity to train in high school out of Arizona. So I have a good bloodline of guys that I've had come through our training program, speed, quickness, mm-hmm. even ways to just be interviewed. I take the kids on college tours to meet the coaches, to shake their hands, to see what it's really going to be like, not just on the field, but off the field as well. So give them that experience. So when they do go to a university, they know how to speak to a coach. They know how to speak to the teacher. Yes, sir. No, sir. Look them in the eye. Be confident. And, you know, that's what a coach is looking for. When you shake a kid, a coach's hand and you're looking at the ground or you're looking all around, a coach is knowing like, okay, he's not that confident. So I have a lot of kids that come from those situations that don't feel confident, don't have that, that ick factor. And that's where I come in as like, man, you know, I was that kid, I was shy. But now, you know, if you want something, man, you got to really go out there and get it because no one's going to give you anything. So they say
preparation leads to confidence.
Yeah, and you if you're not prepared, I always say prepare to win. Don't prepare to fail. And you know, if you're prepared to win, if you give it 100%, and you know, I just let the chips fall where they may. So Camp 29 is a great platform. We do scholarship programs as well because there's a lot of underprivileged kids that can't afford, mm-hmm. Shoes or a meal. Or, you know, even afford to camp or training. So we have kids that do pay that are blessing other kids that not able to play. So, man, it's a great platform. I'm excited to get it.
My favorite type of business is where it can be profitable, but you're doing goodwill. A guy told me that a long time. What's wrong with being a for-profit business? If you could do good, feel good, and make money. I think that's a great business
model. You are making money. You're making money helping people. It's paying your bills.
Yes. Yeah. It's I know a lot of people say, we just have that stigma, like we can't make money. You know, it's like you played in the league, like there's no, why are you charging kids? Like, wait a minute. They're paying for a certain, if you're not going to pay,
right.
You're going to go pay Joe Blow.
Right.
Who's not going to pour into your kid, who doesn't care about your kid, only cares about that transaction coming to help his portfolio, to help business, build his business. And that's one thing, man, as brothers, man, we got to do better than that. We got to help support each other. If you're willing to go buy $100, $200 shoes from Foot Locker or whatever, why can't you pour that maybe $30, $40 and invest in your kid? Because if you don't invest in your kids, the street will. And mm-hmm. you don't want the streets investing in your kids. You want to be there at every step of the way possible. Because if your kid gets caught up in the street, man, I was one of those kids that was blessed enough to get away. And the streets can get you. And it's not good. So I always tell parents, you're either going to invest your $30, $35 to come here for an hour, 2 hours, learn from some guys that played in the National Football League, help your skill set, build your confidence up, or you can go on the streets where you're going to be selling dope or working for somebody else and end up dead or in jail.
Now, do you do Camp 29 year-round, or is it just in the summertime, or when?
I do it year-round.
Okay.
Sports, you know, it doesn't matter which sport. There could be track, football, baseball, basketball. Last couple of weeks, I've been in California, even doing volleyball girls. So mm-hmm. I don't discriminate. You know, if you want to get that work, man, we'll give it to you. But
how has COVID impacted your business? Are you able to continue to operate, or have you had to modify, or you've been on hold? Or
I had to modify, and you know, obviously, I had to cancel the one this last weekend. I was supposed to be in California, but I know California's, you know, pretty much shut down. So
yep.
I had to figure out ways. To continue to work. So normally I have like 15 to 20 kids. Now I just go 3 or 4 times a week and I have like 2 or 3 kids at a time. So, and for me, man, it's not all about the money. And I tell these kids, I can charge. There's guys that never even played a down of college football or pro football. They're charging $300 an hour.
Right.
And me, it's $100. So when I tell parents it's $100, they're like, no way. So, you know, for $100, you know, for your services that you get, had a great testimony the other day. A coach from Dixie State called me up. Kids sent out a picture that trained with me a couple of weeks ago in California. He's like, hey, man, I'm really interested in this kid. Kid had no idea. And, you know, just the platform that I've been blessed with, coaches really believe in and trust in me training and teaching these kids the proper technique. Now, all of a sudden, this kid gets a scholarship offer. He had no idea. He didn't wake up yesterday knowing he's going to get a scholarship offer. But, you know, his dad invested his time. He invested his money. And now, all of a sudden, his kid's going to be going to school for free. Whereas normally 30 to 40 grand a year, now his dad don't have to come out of pocket. So
how do you promote your business? Like, how do people hear about Camp 29?
The thing about it, I really never did it because I was working for another business, but now I just do it through social media. And, you know, just, I know a lot of high school head coaches. I know a lot of university coaches, and it was just in November that I officially launched and said, hey, this is what I'm doing. Now I'm going to be traveling the country. I'm going to be doing my own thing. I'm not working for anybody. Obviously, I'm going to be employing other guys that I had on the staff before. So, you know, it's just that's why people are like, man, what's your platform? You know, how are you going to get it out? But I'm on the radio here in Las Vegas on ESPN Radio Las Vegas every Tuesday. So that's a promotional tool that I use as well.
What's your what do you think is more difficult, succeeding on the football field or succeeding in the business world?
That's tough. That's a really good question. And obviously, you know, playing football pretty much half my life, it was second nature. But, you know, once you the stands are, you know, the people are not cheering your name anymore, it's like, man, you got to get in the real world and see what it's like. But for me, man, I don't care. I don't accept no and just go into my hiding. That just makes me work harder. That just says, okay, well, obviously I'm not doing something right. I surround myself with people that's smarter than me. I never walk around and be like, because I played in the National Football League, I'm just that guy, you know. So there's always somebody that knows a little bit more than me, especially in the business side of the world. Obviously, I can open the door and have a conversation because most guys in that position are sports guys. So they want to talk about sports, even females. Females are like it's a rise in sports with females now. You look at you go to sports bars when they were open. You see a lot of females in there getting after it. And, you know,
not so this one, but yes, point taken.
But, you know, it's tough on both ends, but man, I relish it. I'm excited for it. Along with my other business I just launched was Grillin' McMillan.
Tell us about Grillin' McMillan. And it's just for people out there listening on Mark's personal social media, he's posted a lot of his own personal chef work. Like, I know you have a passion for cooking. I've seen your photos through the years. So now you've taken that passion and launched another business. Talk about Grillin' McMillan.
Yeah, I've been grilling for obviously for about 10 to 15 years, man. And over the last 5 years, me and a buddy of mine, Sean Hampton, actually went to Sealmore High School in the Valley as well, and a guy named Milton Bug. So we just started mixing up seasons and spices, and it just turned into something really good. And, you know, now I have 8 seasonings on deck ready to launch again. And the grilling part, man, I love it. I grill pretty much every day, like 6 days a week. You can go on my Instagram at McMillan29, and I'm going to have something on there.
Facts.
Whipped up from scratch. So, you know, a company out of Chicago is called Happy to Meet You, is a meat company, partnered up with a guy named Scott and Mike. Scott actually appeared on Hell's Kitchen with Gordon Ramsay. So he has the credibility and obviously just following my recipes and following along. He's like, man, would you like to partner up? And for me, I was like, if I can get a meat sponsor, a grill sponsor, and a charcoal sponsor, I'm good. Mm-hmm. But the meat sponsor was the key. And when they came with that opposition, so now we've been in business together for a month. And, man, business is crazy. And, you know, we got the Grillin' McMillan flavor pack for $129, and $29 is for the number. That was my football.
Your football number. Yeah, there we go. $120.
So pair it up.
So you can do a 100 for Matt?
No, we don't have nothing on the menu for one cent. We don't have
nothing. For the towel guy.
For $129, man, you can get a great meat pack. Comes with the personal autograph photo from me as well. Comes with steak. It comes with chicken. Comes with beef. You know, we're waiting for, obviously, COVID to kind of die down. We're looking to go to Tampa for the Super Bowl, so we're going to probably launch that again, teaming up with some bourbon companies, some wine companies. So it's, well, man, I've been blessed, man. People
are what you're doing, I just want to say this quickly. What you're doing in terms of business, what I like, is that you branded yourself from the NFL or even college with 29, and you're carrying that brand forward to reflect your brand. So basically saying, you know, number 29 was solid on the field, and now he's solid on the grill. And you got to keep branding that so people kind of know that, hey, anything that comes behind 29 is considered high grade and good quality, which I think is a lesson in anybody doing business, understanding the importance of marketing and sticking with that brand recognition that you've been doing through the last how many years, and you're not, you know, carrying it forward.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are, you know, shocked, you know, even the meat company, they're like, man, you are killing it on social media. And I figured, like, man, I'm not just going to, if I'm going to go in it, if my name's going to be on it, I'm going to put everything behind it, because when you get your meat or whatever in your house, and when you cook it, I want you to be able to be like, man, that's some great quality meat. It's a great product. I believe in his brand. And next thing you know, it just snowballed, man. I think in the first week, I probably sold like 7 packages. And the guys, they were like, man, we haven't even sold 7 packages in a month. But, you know, like, just branding, and from Twitter to Facebook to Instagram, and people are actually seeing me cook the same meat that they're getting at home, says a lot too. So I love it, man. I'm excited to launch it. I just got a nice little bottle of bourbon. It's called from Frey Ranch. It's out here in Nevada. So I just made some bourbon barbecue sauce the other day. So I'm just trying to incorporate everything that I have in my cupboard, my kitchen, to send. You know, you don't have to go out to Ruth Chris and spend $200-$300 on a steak. You can have your own steak. You can have your own wine right there at your own home and prepare it yourself.
Well, that's a good business to be in right now, with people staying at home more than ever. So
right.
Are there any other business ventures or business goals that you have that you're looking to do on the horizon in the years to come?
I just want to be comfortable, man. I just want to be able to take care of my wife, take care of my son and my daughter, make my mom proud. You know, it's not about if you have a ton of money in the bank, but, you know, if my wife is happy, everybody's happy.
Happy wife, happy life. Got you.
Yeah. So, man, just blessed, man, because it's so much that's going on today. People losing their lives, you know, even just suicide and depression from people being at home, not being able to go out and deal with it. You know, so, man, I just try to use my platform every day. I try to send out something inspirational, because I know a lot of people do follow me and follow my brand. And if I could just maybe deter that one person or encourage that one person to be like, you know what, I was scared to, you know, walk away from this job, have another opportunity. I've been sitting on this idea for a long time. And I think I'm just going to do it. You know, that was me. I never was like, oh, I should launch Camp 29 myself. I was like, man, just ride. Let me just go in and do it. And if I fail, I fail. You know, at least I put my heart into it. And, you know, if that doesn't work out, shoot, I was cut 3 times in the National Football League. It never stopped me from playing, you know. So everybody in the National Football League, you're going to get cut. You know, obviously you got to put a good resume out there that you get picked up. And I still take that mentality in the business world. You know, somebody may be like, hey, this is not a good fit for us. Okay, well, I'm going to go to the next company. Somebody's going to say yes, you know. So.
Perseverance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So right. what's your advice to someone who is in like a gig kind of job? You know, it doesn't have to be professional football. It could be something where you make a lot of money in a short amount of time and then you don't, or you might not, you know, like apparently they did a study on NFL players that found that they file for bankruptcy at this incredible rate. Yeah. And it starts really soon after retirement from the sport. Like, the money doesn't last. And I think lots of people who make like chunks of money are like that too.
Yeah. It's, I always say, you know, just because we're athletes, because we're on TV and everybody see it. You know, there's tons of other business is out there that's making just as much money as we are. They're just not getting highlighted and they're just not under the spotlight. But, you know, I've seen doctors blow a ton of money. I've seen lawyers blow a ton of money. You know, you don't have to just be an athlete to be in that bubble. Be like, oh, my God, this guy blew a ton of money. You know, our business is out there. You know, you can type in any guy that played in the National Football League. You can find out everything about him, from his kids right. to his mom to whatever, from if he had a speeding ticket or a jaywalking ticket. So we got to be very careful about what we do just because of the position that we were in. But there's tons of – I got doctors and lawyer friends that's way worse than what I was doing, you know, and, you know, that end up, you know, looking for – a job and spending the money on the girls and the clubs and all that, but no one knows who they are. You know, it's like, oh my God, this dude's just spending a gang of money. Like, dude, that's one of the top surgeons in, you know, in the world, you know, but no one looks at them. They'll look at the football player like, man, look at this guy blowing all this money. Why is it just stupid?
Sure. But so, how do you keep your head straight? Right. Like even people who like, you know, work on commission and like people who work in sales or whatever, where you bring in a bunch of money and like you earned it and you worked hard, but it's a little bit feast or famine.
Yeah. You just got to be disciplined. And you know, that's what it's all about. If you're not disciplined with your money, it's not going to be good. And we all like nice things. We all like fancy things. You know, I tell the kids now, they're like, man, they see me cooking, you know, steaks, and I see some of my boys, they're like, oh, man, Ruth Chris, man, I'm getting this buttery steak. I was like, dude, I just paid $20 for the same exact steak that you eat. Came from Chicago, from the same place. So I just think a lot smarter now. And, you know, people can't follow what they see on social media and see everybody with the cars and, you know, want to be like everybody else. You know, just be like yourself. Just be yourself. You know, you know when you're making the wrong decision. You know, you just have that gut feeling. Right. And from having a signing bonus of, you know, $2 million, all of a sudden, like, man, I can buy anything I want. But I just went out and bought me a little Toyota Land Rover. Like, you know, I don't need a Lamborghini or a Ferrari. You know,
right.
I can have it, but it, you know, it's going to depreciate and that's not going to help me in the long run. So, you know, you just got to be honest with yourself. Don't try to run with the Joneses. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing or trying to be. You know, I always tell people on social media, you know, be who you are. You know, because I know a lot of people out there flossing, like in real life, like, you don't have it like that, bro. Stop flossing. You know, so I just do a camp. I do combines. I help, you know, cook and stuff like that. That's what I do. And I'm going to be the best at it. You know, if I worked in a janitor's office or whatever kind of business or whatever, just be the best at it. Don't worry about what everybody else is going to say about you. As long as you're comfortable in yourself and being able to provide for your family, that's all that should matter.
Yep.
Great point. Well, I have one final question for you, Mark. If you could go back and talk to young Mark, high school Mark, Alabama Mark, like rookie Mark, like what have you learned on this journey that, like, if you could go back then, I know you said you don't regret anything, but, like, what would you tell young Mark in terms of this journey, or what would you do differently?
Boy, you was wild. like I said, I don't think I would do anything different, because then that wouldn't have been me. And, you know, from having the money to not having the money to having the cars to not having the cars, that was just a growing pain and growing lessons for me. And everybody's got to go through their own growing pains. And it just, you know, I just have to mature, you know, have a family now. You got to be smarter. It's not about me. You know, when you have a kid, it's definitely not about you. That takes everything out of the equation. And for me, it was like, man, my little son, he can care less what I got. He's just hungry. You know what I'm saying? He just want to eat. You know what I'm saying? If he poop, he's looking at me like, are you going to clean this? You know? So,
right.
You know, for just looking back, man, my journey was I would say tough. But if I wouldn't have had that tough journey, I don't think I would have made it 8 years in the National Football League.
Gotcha.
You're so right. It is about perseverance and confidence. You know, from the five keys to success, they say, is, you know, you build your high self-esteem, believe in yourself, have confidence, like, and feel good about yourself and take pride in what you're doing. You know, and that's all about what you've kind of said, summarized today. You know, you're passionate about what you do. You've extended your football career in another format, but you're about giving back to the community, because you've seen how you grew up and what the give back was. And you learn the heart, you learn through life that the give back doesn't mean handouts. You know, it's giving your God-given ability and showing those their God-given ability and how they can leverage that and how they can make a career out of it. So that's extraordinary in what you're doing. And it fits within one of the keys to success. So although, you know, success comes in many ways, you are receiving continued success because you're doing what you love and you're passionate about what you love. And I think that's what everybody's goals should be when it comes to business. And then your focus throughout even this whole interview is just smiling all the time, infectious, positive attitude, the hand signal. Like, you have all the elements. I don't even think you know you have all the key ingredients. You know, this is not me just making this up. You know, focus with positive attitude. I'll expect the best outcome. Like, just listening to you, you're somebody I would love to work with because of what you're bringing to the attitude, the professionalism, well, and all those things.
Let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen. Send me some meat. and then the other thing is that you're setting goals continuously. You know, I was just reading something, you know, I was going to share it with you, Matt, because you probably need it. It's for those like setting new bars when you're over 50. You know,
yo, me and Mark are classmates, so watch your 50, brother.
Hey, I'm 52 now. Come on,
exactly.
So, so you have to, you know, set powerful goals and give your brain like a place to aim and target. You know, which I can tell that you're continuously doing, hence why you're successful. And the last thing, the ingredients, is to persevere and never quit, you know. Mm-hmm. And quitting, to some people may think, well, I'm not doing that, I'm doing something. You can pivot, doesn't mean you quit. You know, right. you can rearrange, adjust, you can go in a different way, you can partner with somebody else. That's not quitting.
Right.
You know, and to me, I always say, you know, life is short. Go hard or go home. Like, simple, right. Go hard or go home. Life is short. When all is said and done, you're only going to remember it for a few things in life. So might as well make the good of it, you know.
Right.
So, you know, you embody what the pre-commercials are for success. And, you know, and all of that has nothing to do with being 5'7", 130 pounds. It's not part of the success formula. You know, it's how big your drive and how big your determination is.
I know you said, you know, a lot of people's like, what do you want to be remembered as? You know, I don't want to be remembered as like, oh, that's Mark McKinley played football. You know, I want to be remembered as like, you know, that was a guy that overcame a lot of odds, that didn't take no for an answer, did everything he could to give back and just try to make the world a better place, man, because football was just a small window. You know, I'm way more than just a guy that was running up and down the field. You know, I have a lot of substance. I have a lot of things that I can offer. I have a lot of love and passion to see others win, man. I love seeing other guys win. I love
seeing
females win. And, you know, there's a lot of guys that still to this day don't want to see me succeed, and I know it, and that just drives me every day. Like,
that's
why
with me, Mark, like the NBA, the NFL wasn't for me. Like, I just had bigger goals in life.
Hold on,
and I just said, you know what? Some people want to go the easy route of the NFL and NBA, and I said, let me use other tools.
I said no.
Hey, let me hear yours, Karen. Break it down. I know, Karen.
I said, throw this ball and do it like in the twisty way and then run that way. I said, you know what? I'm good. I'm going to
exactly sell out comedy venues, arenas for you, Karen. Wasn't your thing. You didn't want
no. The money and fame.
No, wasn't your thing.
My man is like in the barbershop. You know, I always hear that. Like, man, if I wouldn't have that baby or if I wouldn't have my name.
Wow.
I appreciate you guys giving me this platform, man. I love what you guys are doing. Whatever I can do to help out, man, in any way. Like I said, man, there's enough to go around for everybody. And I want to be able to spread myself and help as many people as I can with my platform, because I know I've been blessed with a platform. When I open my mouth, people listen just because I played football. And it's not has to do with, oh, he went to college or you know, he's helping out. A lot of people don't care about that. They just want to talk football. So whatever I can do to help you guys out with your platform, man, just keep me posted.
So where can people find you? What's your social and what's your website?
My website is grillinmcmillan.com. G-R-I-L-L-N. McMillan, McMillian. So when you push that button, though, you got to be ready, because that meat look good on there. It's going to make you want to buy it.
Consider us warned.
Yeah, that's my website. And then you can follow me on Instagram at McMillan29. And my Twitter is also MarkMcMillan29. So those are my three platforms that I kind of use to kind of promote what I'm doing as well.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, we want to thank you, Mark, and appreciate all the wisdom and you're telling us about your journey. We hope people got something out of that, but we appreciate you.
All right, appreciate you, man. Appreciate y'all. Y'all go out there and push that button, GrillaMcMillan.com, baby.
Absolutely. Everybody go, especially you know, the holiday season. Get you some, order you something for the holidays. You're at home, yeah, go online, get some steaks, get some meat, whatever. Get you something.
Wow, what a great show. Inspiring as always. Matt, great guest. Got so much out of it. You know, people always like to do the comparison to sports and business. So I think it's a good time to just kind of give our opinion, what we thought of like the analogy between sports and business. For somebody that doesn't watch sports and know much sports, Karen, let me let you lead with this. What'd you get out of this whole thing that we just did?
Yeah. So I really like this guest, by the way. Mark had like this very, me and Matt were talking afterwards. He has this very like Tom Cruise vibe of like, I can do it, that like hustle guy. And Mark was the same way. I like hearing those people. I like talking to those people. I like hearing their energy. It's, you know, I hope people got the finance part out of it as well, you know, about how to leverage success, right? Like that's kind of a story is like, he knew he was getting a kind of windfall for the work that he was doing, and knowing that it had an expiration date helped him figure out how to leverage that for later. And like, you don't have to be a professional football player to have need of that skill, you know, or just like that awareness.
I just think I agree with what you're saying, Karen, and the way I would frame it is that the tools or the traits of success oftentimes translate to whatever you're doing, whether it's business, whether it's sports, whether it's academics, whether it's whatever. I just feel like hearing his story, especially since he's on paper, he's an against all odds success story. If you look at him, he's just the undersized, too small to make it in the pros. But you could compare his stature to like the regular person's stature financially. We're not all Bill Gates. We're not all loaded with all kinds of bazillions of dollars, but you can still become a super successful business person if you apply yourself, if you apply the proper, you know, techniques and the proper discipline. You can go from being maybe someone who, oh, wow, where did you come from? You're not supposed to be a millionaire or a success, but you know, you buy that right property, you invest in that right stock, you do the right things, and you add discipline to that in your business world, just like how Mark has done in sports and also in his after sports life. I just see the comparison is discipline, and those same traits can work in all of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, those that don't get it, you know, two black guys, good credit. We're deep. We speak metaphorically, right? So this was a whole metaphor to understand like the ethic and the work that's needed to become successful in finance and business. Like I know a lot of book smart people that, you know, knew all the algorithms, knew all the formulas, did great in all the finance exams, but didn't know how to apply it to real life. Didn't have that confidence, that grit grind of how to succeed and willing to roll up their sleeves and put steaks on a grill and make money from it, you know. So for those that are listening to the show, you know, think of this as the two black guys, a good credit metaphor of success. Did I do that? Did I got it right, Karen?
That's exactly what it is. And it's
I passed the grammar. Passed Karen's grammar test.
You
yes,
did it. That was first of all. That was perfectly put.
I know. I'm gonna take it. Yeah, I'm gonna take that applause. You have that.
That was a touchdown, as you guys say. Well done.
I would also add one final thought to this is that he also did something that I think in our business lives we can take a cue from, which is focusing on the things you love. Like he loved sports. He loved football. He also later in life, like I said, I would watch him on social media. He would be cooking and grilling before he got in this business of selling steaks and making, you know, grilling products. Like I already saw that he was into that, and he found a way to transition his passions into business. So
I stick with the brand, though. What I love, it all evolved around number 29.
True.
I stick with the branding. You know, this is what
I love. Coaching was Camp 29. You're right. Yeah, everything is connected.
Branding. Its IGs are all on 29. You know, everything. The pricing is 29. You know, that's great branding.
And you know what? How you do one thing is how you do everything. And I feel like for maybe him and his life, football proved it, right? That he could like apply this hustle to that. And it feels like he transferred that to every other thing and then leverage it going forward, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. All right. Well, then I'm Sean Lind, the better half of two black guys with good credit. And I brought you some metaphorical hood gems today. As I say, though, every week, Matt, Karen, keep your money in your damn pocket. And I'm out.
You know, I try to keep my money in my damn pocket, but then I see a cordless vacuum cleaner on sale and I lose all control. So I'm Karen, the relatable third of two black guys with good credit. And I am getting it together just like you.
And I'm Matt Smith, the other half or third of two black guys with good credit. And I just know, as our listeners, you've heard in past weeks, Sean Linda talk about his athletic skills and what he did on the basketball court, or hockey, ice. A lot of that, you know what, I'm not so sure about it, but what I wanted to do was provide you a real professional athlete, a real star. So we brought Mark McMillan on to give us...
Oh, that's not why some, I was on? Okay.
And Karen. But Mark came on to give us that real game. So I hope you enjoyed it. Nothing changes if nothing changes. Happy New Year, and I'm out.
Look, it's good, people. Just please follow us. Email us at tbgwgc@gmail.com with your comments and your rebuttals to Matt's comments. Also, also send us a nice comment, 5-star rating on anywhere you're listening to our show, and send us an audio note so we can put you on our show. Once again, I'm Sean, and I'm out.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.